E-tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tho Míle Fáilte Róid an Seó. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. I like going to Mass. Every Sunday morning do I like going to Mass. It is something I have been doing since childhood. Back then I went because my parents would have me to go. But I go now because I feel a certain need to be there, want to be there. I want to be there to listen to the readings, to the homily, and to contemplate the mystery that is the Eucharist, and the mystery that is me. I like the beauty of the place, the atmosphere, the sense of tradition and pageantry. At a time when so very few are given to attending Mass, I like making a social statement that Catholic Christianity, though it has many problems, and no doubt it has so many problems, both of a doctrinal and human nature, it still holds some intrinsic worthwhile values for me. Our parish priest likes to do Ferrari-style masses, while he oft gives very encouraging scripture-based homilies. At times I feel, though he is somewhat disinterested in the liturgy of the Eucharist, happy to be getting it done with as quickly as possible. His stand-in priest does snail-pace masses with his own numerous add-ons coming from a bygone era. The sound of his voice and his particular selection of words and phrases are more like a benumbing of my mind. His liturgy of the Eucharist is by the book than by the heart, though of a sincerity he seems to be full part. At times both priests make me feel I am attending an once upon a time very powerful religious cult, where I wanting to get up right in the middle of it and walk out the door into the ever-welcoming light of day, never with it again to associate. But then come the next Sunday morning, I am happy to be again strolling down to Mass, happy to be saying hello to the few people I happen to meet along the way. I attend with mindfulness for my precious family's well-being and that of my own. I have some expectation I will hear something or have some very interesting inspiration present itself to me while being there, as has happened so many times. What then is my faith, you might ask? Private it is. Within my heart it is. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, he said, I saw in an opening in a forest in mid-spring a stallion standing still, and he appeared to be half asleep. And I wondered what he might be half dreaming of. Could he be half dreaming of some mare or a herd of mares? Perhaps he was half remembering his yesterday, half thinking about his today or even his tomorrow. How, I thought, could I for sure know? I, he would have needed to be. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from As You Like It, Tao Te Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from As You Like It. Can it be possible that no man saw them? It cannot be. Some villains of my court are of consent and sufferance in this. I cannot hear of any that did see her. The ladies, her attendants of her chamber, saw her abed, and in the morning early they found the bed untreasured of their mistress. My lord, the roynish clown at whom so oft your grace was wont to laugh, is also missing. Hesperia, the princess's gentlewoman, confesses that she secretly overheard your daughter and her cousin much commend the parts and graces of the wrestler that did but lately foil the sinewy Charles. And she believes, wherever they are gone, that youth is surely in their company. Send to his brother, fetch that gallant hither. If he be absent, bring his brother to me. I'll make him find him. Do this suddenly. And let not search and inquisition quail to bring again these foolish runaways. Who's there? What, my young master? Oh, my gentle master, oh, my sweet master, oh, your memory of old Sir Roland. Why, what makes you here? Why are you virtuous? Why do people love you? And wherefore are you gentle, strong, and valiant? Why would you be so fond to overcome the bony prizer of the humorous duke? Your praises come too swiftly home before you. Know you not, master, to some kind of men their graces serve them but as enemies. No more do yours, your virtues, gentle master, are sanctified and holy traitors to you. Oh, what a world is this, when what is comely envenoms him that bears it. Why, what's the matter? Oh, unhappy you, to come not within these doors, within this roof, the enemy of all your graces lives, your brother. No, brother, yet not the son. I will not call him son, of him I was about to call his father. Had heard your praises, and this night he means to burn the lodgings where you used to lie, and you within it. If he fail of that, he will have other means to cut you off. I overheard him and his practices. This is no place. This house is but a butchery. Abhor it, fear it, do not enter it. Why, whither, Adam, wouldst thou have me go? No matter whither, so you come not here. What wouldst thou have me go, and beg my food? Or with a base and boisterous sword enforce a thievish living on the common road? This I must do, or know not what to do. Yet this I will not do, do how I can. I rather will subject me to the malice of a diverted blood and a bloody brother. But do not so. I have 500 crowns, the thrifty hire I saved under your father, which I did store to be my foster nurse, when service should in my old limbs lie lame, and unregarded age in corners thrown. Take that, and he that doth the ravens feed, yet providently caters for the sparrow. Be comfort to my age. Here is the gold, and all this I give you. Let me be your servant. Though I look old, yet I am strong and lusty, for in my youth I never did apply hot rebellious liquors in my blood, nor did with unbashful forehead womb the means of weakness and debility. Therefore my age is as a lusty winter, frosty but kindly. Let me go with you. I'll do the service of a younger man in all your business and necessities. O good old man, how well in these appears the constant service of the antique world, when service sweat for duty, not for meed. Thou art not for the fashion of these times, where none will sweat but for promotion, and having that to choke their service up, even with the having, it is not so with thee. But poor old man, thou prunest a rotten tree, that cannot so much as a blossom yield in lieu of all thy pains and husbandry, but come thy ways, well go along together. And ere we have thy youthful wages spent, we'll light upon some settled low content. Master, go on, and I will follow thee, to the last gasp, with truth and loyalty. From 17 years till now, almost 80, here lived I, but now live here no more. At 17 years many their fortunes seek, but at 80 it is too late a week. Yet fortune cannot recompense me better than to die well and not my master's debtor. Tao Te Ching, Installment 23. Be less. This is the spontaneous rule. Hence a gusty wind does not persist through all morning. A sudden downpour does not persist through a whole day. Who makes them so? The heaven and the earth. Even the heaven and the earth don't like to perform a long work. What more can be expected from people? Thus, whoever devotes him or herself to the Tao will know the Tao's essence. Whoever devotes him or herself to the Te will know the Te's essence. Whoever devotes to the loss will know the loss's essence. Whoever matches the Tao's essence will find pleasure in the Tao. Whoever matches the Te's essence will find pleasure in the Te. Whoever matches the loss will find pleasure in the loss. Those people who can't believe what I said already have disbelieving hearts. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. No three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Hugh Macleod of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" A story goes of an able minister of Alandri, who resigned his post, left the palace and went into the countryside, where he settled down to cultivate a patch of land. A year, one, two, and three passed by, and still he was to be found enjoying living in the countryside, cultivating the land and harvesting the grains and crops. A stranger happened by of a spring day as he was solitarily ploughing away, and as is always the custom of the countryside, hospitality required, the former minister, now farmer, to invite the stranger to sit down on the headland to have a chat, and to offer him some food if he had some. And the stranger would reciprocate the generosity by sharing stories from other parts of the island. He treated him to what he had on him, which was only some bread and water. And the stranger was pleased, and they were given to chatting away. And as the conversation went round, the question arose as to why he had resigned from his ministerial post. The king listened to none but to his own voice. He would arbitrarily make decisions. He liked at times to threaten people, either directly, indirectly, or even subtly. He was very impatient and would want things to be done for him yesterday. You always knew where you stood with him. You were, from his point of view, always on his wrong side. He was beginning to employ rewards and punishments. Under him, no one was inclined to do good or right, but rather what was the safest thing to do. I was like that for a time too under him. Although he was not a tyrant, he was showing clear signs, at least in my mind, of somewhat leaning in that direction. And I came to the realization that it would be better for my peace of mind and physical safety if I were to come out here into the countryside to cultivate even this small piece of land. I believe by doing so, I would be much more content and happy. Greatly I am. Why didn't you stay on like the other ministers and try instead to work away little by little on him, to make him open his mind and be more willing to accept alternative views, even contrasting views? For the best part of 25 years I tried, but all to little or no avail. So do you intend to live out the remainder of your life here in the countryside, cultivating your land by day and reading your books by eve? That's the intention and hope, anyway. A few days later, the king came to visit him, and kindly asked if he wouldn't mind returning and work in the palace, if he wouldn't mind resuming his ministerial position. "I will on one condition, Your Majesty." "And what is that?" "That Your Majesty will remain here with me until the end of the harvest season, will help me with the cultivation of the land and the harvesting of crops and grains." "Fair enough, I can do that." Both returned to the palace in the autumn, having successfully completed the harvest. The king was a changed man, for no longer did he solely listen to his own voice, but sincerely sought the opinions of all his ministers. He refrained from making arbitrary decisions. He ceased threatening anyone, either directly, indirectly, or even subtly. He had become very patient and could well understand now that some things take time and that he would just have to wait for them. His ministers knew anew where they now stood with him. They were, from his point of view, always on his right side. No further use had he to employ rewards and punishments. Every spring from then on, he and his ministers would go live in the countryside and help with the cultivating of the land, and again in the autumn they would return to help out with the harvest. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when we're living in your own realm and time, your loving kindness, truth, and joy will be in your silences, in your words, and in your actions. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. And spare a thought too for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult, and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseterDramaScripts.com. It is truly an honour to have your listening. It is more than a voice in your ear. There is power in listening. More than a phrase in your eye. Insight there is in reading. Enjoy both, and please do spread the word. Thank you, Rich. May you be a blessing unto yourself, by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.